This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abayim. Welcome everyone. Rabbi, if you made it here tonight, then like we like to say, you must have tremendous chusim, because what we're going to learn tonight is Dvarim Ha'imdim Baruma Shalaylam. Hopefully, B'siyata D'shmaya, Hashem should give us understanding the same libeinu lahavin ulahaskel neflois mitayrasei. Okay, the Gemara says in Masechet Megillah on Daf Tes Zayin the following. Take a look on your sheets. Number one, Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa said, Darash Rabbi Shila ish kfar tamarta. Rabbi Shila, you're welcome. Ish kfar tamarta. Rabbi Shila, a man from the village of Tamarta, said as follows. Kol hashirois kula nechtavos ariach agabi levena. All songs are all written, a half a brick on a whole brick. Ulevena agabi ariach, and a brick on a half a brick. Chutz mishirozu, except for this song. So what is the Gemara talking about? The Gemara is saying like this: there's shirois in the Sefer Torah. For example, Oz Yashir. The way Oz Yashir is written is you have Oz Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael Asashozos Hashem Yimaleimar Ashiro Hashem. In other words, you have a half a brick. You have a half a brick, and then underneath you have a full brick. Meaning the song is not one column, but rather you have, on the first line you have two, one on the right and one on the left. The second line you have one in the middle. Sort of if the two top lines would fall, they would be supported on the middle line. Then you have line three, half a brick, and then line four, a whole brick. So all songs are basically staggered, so that if theoretically, if one would fall, the line underneath would catch it. Except for this song. Now, Marv Rabbi said, what song is this talking about? What is this referring to? This refers to the Aseres B'nei Haman. Meaning, take a look in your sheet number 3. It says, Oh, v'shushan ha'birar, go'ayudim v'yabed, chamesh, me'osish, v'yez, parashandas, v'yez talfoin. On the right side, it's a half a brick. On the left side, it's a half a brick. And the whole brick refers, according to Rashi, to the empty space. The empty space, according to Rashi, is double the size of the written part. So every single song in Tanakh, and we're going to see, does anybody know, how many songs are in Tanakh? Good, 9 songs in Tanakh. But there's going to be one more, La'as Lavi. So there's in history, there are 10 songs. All the songs are a half a brick on a whole brick, and a whole brick on a half a brick. Except for this song, and, says the Gemara, Umalchei Canaan, and the kings of Canaan. What are the kings of Canaan? When Yehoshua ben Nun went in to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and he set siege, and he conquered the various cities in Eretz Yisrael, you have over here a number 4, Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Tes through Chav Dalet. What does it say? It lists all the kings of Canaan. Melech Yerichai Echad. Melech Ha'ay Hashem Yitzhar Beisel Echad. Melech Yushalayim Echad. Melech Hebron Echad. Melech Yamus Echad. Melech Lachish Echad. So here also it's Ariach Agabe Ariach. Ulevena Agabe Levena. Says the Gemara. Every single... That's one king. Another king. One king. Yeah. In other words, you ever see people count money? One. That's, you know. So that's a way of counting. So very interesting. Rabbi say there are 2 exceptions to the rule. Exception number 1 is the Aseres B'nei Haman, and exception number 2 is the kings of Canaan. By the way, does anybody know how many kings were the Malchei Canaan? Very interesting. The Navi says Melch Tirza Echad. Kam lachim shloishim yachad. A total of 31 kings. There are 31 kings in Canaan. 10 sons of Haman, 31 kings of Canaan. So again, all songs are staggered except for the 10 sons of Haman and the 31 kings. So when I read this Gemara, something really struck me. All songs are staggered except for this song? This is not a song. What's a song? I mean, this is a song. What kind of, imagine your kid comes home from school. Say, you know, Daddy, I learned a great song today. What did you learn? I learned a song about terrorists, the names of terrorists that were killed in the Middle East. Mohammed Ahmadinejad. What kind of crazy school do you go to? You're singing a song about names of... it's ridiculous. You want to say the 10 sons of Haman and you want to list them, fine. But it's a Shira? Well, Shira is a special praise of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why would you refer to this as a Shira? Why would you refer to the 31 kings of Canaan as a Shira? I wouldn't have known it's a Shira. It's not like in the Chumash it says, by the way, everybody brace yourselves for the following Shira. How do we even know it's a Shira? It's because the Gemara says, all Shirois are staggered except for this and the Malchei Canaan. What makes them a Shira? Isn't a Shira some type of like extra special expression of joy and happiness? What is the meaning of the Gemara? Number two, why are these in fact the two exceptions to the rule that every other Shir is staggered and these are Ariach Agabe, Ariach and Levena Agabe Levena? Well, the Gemara says we don't want these wicked people to be supported if they were to fall. But it's interesting that these are the two exceptions to the rule. The 10 sons of Haman and the 31 kings of Canaan. And thirdly, what was bothering me is, if in fact these are the two exceptions, what's the common denominator? Meaning here, 10 sons of Haman, 31 kings of Canaan, they seem like, you know, apples and oranges. What's the connection between these two items? And the first question we asked is raised in the Sefer Afike Mayim. In other words, why is the list of the 10 sons of Haman called Shir? This is a question of Hagoyin Rav Moshe Shapiro, and his Machshava, one of the great Bali Machshava of our generation, who is Nifter recently, in the Sefer Afike Mayim. In other words, why are the 10 sons of Haman, why is this list considered a Shir? Okay, Mav Raboisai, here we go. In the Shir, one of the greatest shirois that we have in the Chumash, the Shir Oz Yashir Moshe Avnei Yisrael Es Hashir HaZois Leimar. What are we singing about? We're singing that the Ribbono Shel Olam took us out of Mitzrayim and he split the Yam Suf. Fine. There's a very interesting pasuk. What does that mean? Ad yavar amcha Hashem, until your people cross Hashem, ad yavar, until they cross, amzu, this nation, kanisa, that you acquired. So we're saying that the terror and fear struck all our enemies, they were silent like stone, until we crossed. What are these two crossings? It says, Gemara Brachas Daf Daled. Ad yavar amcha Hashem, zu biyarishayna. Ad yavar amzu kanisa zu biyashniya. Says the Gemara, two times the Bnei Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael. One time at the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, led by Yeshua ben Nun, and one time after the 70 years between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, led by Ezra. The first time is called Biya Rishayna, the second time is called Biya Shniya. Meaning to say that we're incorporating into the Shira that the Ribbono Shel Olam was with us, not only in the Midbar, not only when he split the Yam, number one, until we got into Eretz Yisrael the first time, and number two, until we got into Eretz Yisrael the second time. Why are we talking about that in the Shira? After all, isn't the Shira a expression of gratitude for splitting the Yam? Why mention going into Eretz Yisrael the first time? Why mention going to Eretz Yisrael the second time? What does it have to do with Kriyas Yam Suf? Well, says Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zetman defund, we see from here, that we don't just thank Hashem for the actual splitting of the Yam Suf, but we need to thank Hashem for the purpose of why Hashem split the Yam Suf. Why did Hashem split the Yam Suf? He split the Yam Suf not so that we should live in the five towns, not so that we should live in Brooklyn. He split the Yam Suf so we should live in Eretz Yisrael. So how many times were we zoicha to fulfill the purpose of Kriyas Yam Suf? The first time was Bia Rishayna in times of Yeshua ben Nun, and the second time was Bia Shniya in the times of Ezra. Therefore, incorporated into the Shira is not only the actual event of the splitting of the Yam Suf, but is the tachlus of the splitting of the Yam Suf. Namely, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem Bia Rishayna, Ad Yavar Amzu Kanisa Bia Shniya. Okay, and let's elaborate on this point. At this point in time, so I want to share with you just it's kedai to know. How many songs have there been in history? So we mentioned 9. What source is there? How do we know there have been 9 songs in history? So if you look in the Targum, in the beginning of Shir HaShirim, on the words Shir Hashir Masher L'Shloimai, the Targum gives us a list of all 9 songs that have been in history. The Bluetooth light is on. We're good. All nine songs that have been in history. Number one, leading off, the first song that was ever sang, is that on the first day of Adam Arishon's existence, after he ate from the Eitz Hadas, and the Ribono Shel Olam sort of overlooked his sin, then all of a sudden it came Shabbos. Shabbos protected Adam Arishon, and Adam Arishon sang the first Kalbach song. He sang Mizmar, Mizmar, Shir, right? That was the first song ever sang. Shir Liyoimash, that was the first song. Song number two. The second song was when Bnei Yisrael stood at the Yam Suf. Says the Targum, "Mizman di baza lahayin marei alma yas yama the Suf." When God split the Yam Suf, paschul kulayin va'amaru, they all sang "Az Yashir Moshe of Bnei Yisrael Sashir Azayis." Fine. Number three, third song was when they were in the Midbar and God gave them water to drink. "Az Yashir Yisrael Sashir Azayis leimar ali ve'er enula be'er chafaru asarim." Midbar, Matanam, all right? That's the third song, the Shiras Be'er. Song number four, when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to leave this world and he had to rebuke the Jewish people, right? So what did he tell them already? He didn't have to tell them not to talk by davening. They would never do such a thing. Otherwise, better not to come. He would never tell them, you know, not to text during davening. Nobody would be so foolish to do that. Well, there's no point to, you know, might as well stay home. LMI, he gave them Musar to do other things, right? He told them, you know, be careful, watch out, okay, etc. That was the fourth song. The fourth song was the fourth song was Hazinu Hashamayim Va'ada Be'irav Sishmaros Imrefi. Fine. Song number five. Song number five was the song of Yehoshua Benun. Yehoshua Benun said Shemesh Begiva Doim. Right, he silenced the moon, he silenced the sun. Anybody know for how many hours did the sun and the moon not operate? 36 hours, Reuven got it, 36 hours. And then Yehoshua sang Shira. That is what? The fifth song. The sixth song, Rabbi Isai. Sixth song is Barak and Deviro when they defeated Sisra. The seventh song, Shiras Chano, and Chana had a child. The eighth song, the song of David HaMelech, who replicated Chana Shira. The ninth song, Shir HaShirim HaShar L'Shloimai. And the tenth and final song, we will sing on that great day. Right? Nafshi L'Hashem Mishoimim L'Avoyka Shom L'Avoyka, right? That is the tenth and final song. I guess that's part of the Shira of the Bnei Yisrael. It's, you know, it's the woman's version. You know, it gets incorporated with them. Okay. Mavra Boisai, let's try to analyze, what is a Shira? What's a song? What's the definition of a song? Is a song something that has a tune? I mean, I've heard people try to sing songs. That ain't no song, right? It doesn't sound like a song. What's the definition of a song? In the Torah, Alpi Torah, what is the definition of a song? We say like this. Va'ani b'chastecha batachti. Yogel libi b'shuasecha. Ashira l'Hashem kigam aloi. Okay. Says, this pasuk is the key to understanding what Shira is. And this is the insight of none other than Reb Chaim Brisker. You would have thought, what? The Rav's going to tell me pshat in a song. You thought I'm going to tell you some kind of a... No, I'm telling you Reb Chaim. There's no way to understand anything without analysis. People think, no, analysis, some Jews are analytic and others are fuzzy and fluffy. No, no. Rav Moshe Shapiro once said that if you're mefakpek on the approach of brisk and learning, you're mefakpek on Torah Shebaal Peh. There's only one way. You have to learn analytically. You have to think clearly. What is the definition of a song? Let's talk about the following. Is it possible to be on a madrega, to have such bitachon in Hashem, that even if a person is in a bad matzav, they could already foresee the salvation to the extent that I already sing before the salvation comes? Not possible. Could you be on a madrega that you trust in Hashem so confidently that I'm happy now, even bitach the tzara, because I know He'll bring a Yeshua? Yes. But I can't sing yet. How do I know this? It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Va'ani b'chastecha batachti. I trust in your kindness, Hashem. Yogel libi, my heart rejoices. Bishuasech in your salvation. now, even though it didn't come yet. Ashira Lashem, when will I sing to you? Kigam alalai, I won't sing until the Yeshua happens. I could be yagel now, I could rejoice now, I could be joyous now, but I can't sing yet. In order to be able to sing, you need to experience the Yeshua. Why? Here we go. Does anybody know, for a free vacuum cleaner, what does the word shir mean? I don't know.
A lesson?
What does shir mean?
A line.
A line.
Lesson.
Maybe that's a shura, a lesson. Well, let's look in the Gemara. In the Gemara, the word shir means one thing. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, look, number 11, kishir mahu. It says, if you find in a coins, like in the shape of a triangle, is it a simin? Is it not a simin? What about if it's bashir? Kashir? What's kashir? A circle. A circle. Rashi says, mutalin ba'agol ka'asada. It's in a circle like a bracelet. Or the Gemara in Shabbos. Could your behemoth go out with a ring around its neck? What's the lashon? B'chol balei hashir yoytzim b'shir. Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, we see from Shas, the definition of shir is a circle. Now, what is the feature of a circle? What does a circle reflect? What message does a circle say? It's endless. There's no beginning and there's no end. It's almost like right where it ends, that's where it begins. The beginning and the end meet. There's no end point, oh, now it's over. It's when it ends, that's where it joins back to the beginning. In Lashon HaKush, it's called the following. It's called Soifai Naotz B'Tchilasai. The end is stuck into the beginning. In many Sfarim, they talk about, you know, what's the connection between Le'enei Kol Yisrael and Bereishis? They like to connect the end of the Chumash to the beginning. It's called Soifai Naotz B'Tchilasai. Or in many Sfarim, they connect the end of the Masechta to the beginning of the Masechta. Why? Because there's a concept that it's a never-ending circle. Right where it ends, that's where it begins. Let's explain. When Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, they're wallowing in Egypt, they're languishing in Egypt. They don't understand, what does Ribbono Shel Olam want for them? Why is Ribbono Shel Olam mutching them? Why is Ribbono Shel Olam torturing them? Why they have to experience this? Why they go through this? They're suffering there 210 years. Finally, they're running out. And they said, that's what we suffered for 210 years, so that we should die in the Yam Suf between the Egyptians and the Yam. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, the Yam Suf split, and Ra Shivcha Layam Ashalai Ra Yechesko Bambuzi. And then the Bnei Yisrael realized that the Ribbono Shel Olam had a mission for them. He was forging them. He was creating them. Then they understood that this was not just a reward. This was the climax of 210 years of planning. That what they saw, we say, B'machshava Tchila, right? We say, what? Soif Masa? B'machshava Tchila. When they saw the Soif Masa, the Kriyas Yam Suf, they realized that this was in the plans, this was in the works, this was being prepared and worked on and planned all the way in the beginning. Back to the Bris Bein HaBesarim. It came full circle. They realized this was not just some kind of freebie or benefit that they got by leaving Mitzrayim, but they realized, by when they saw the Soif Masa, they realized that this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam had in mind, the Machshava Tchila. So when they got to the end, finally they were able to connect it back to the beginning. What response does that experience elicit? When a person is able to travel through Tzara and then experience such a Yeshua, recognizing that the Ribbono Shel Olam planned it all along, there's only one response. What's the response? Shira. To realize,
it's a joy moment.
Right, it's a recognition that the moment has come full circle. That this is not just an end point, but this was in the works from the beginning. That the Ribbono Shel Olam's machshava was being planned from the whole time. Okay, more rabbis say, let's continue. So the Ribbono Shel Olam takes us out of Mitzrayim, and we go through the Yam Suf, and Klal Yisrael sings Shira, but hold your horses, not yet, because the purpose of splitting the Yam Suf is to get to Eretz Yisrael. Now we went into Eretz Yisrael Bia Rishayna, we went into Eretz Yisrael Bia Shnia. Moirav Raboisai, when we went into Eretz Yisrael the first time, who raised their ugly heads and who tried to interfere and make sure that we do not accomplish the end goal of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Malchei Canaan, the kings of Canaan. How many kings were there? 31 kings. Mamela, when we entered Eretz Yisrael and we conquered the 31 kings, we are now basically completing a Shira that had a few loose ends. The Shira of Oz Yashir was incomplete until now, because even though we left, but we didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. So the main Shira, the Ariach HaGabi Levena, that was sung already. But now we just have to finish up the loose end of actually achieving the end goal, and that is being in Eretz Yisrael. But the problem is, there's a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, he kicked us out. So we went to Babel. And now it's time to go back. And there's a man by the name of Koresh. God sends Koresh. Tell the Jews to go up, and Koresh sends the Jews back. Biyashnia. And then Koresh dies. Does anybody know who took over after? A big, fat king by the name of Ahasuerus. And in the beginning of his reign, the pasuk says, they wrote Sitna al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. They wrote an accusation to put a halt to the return to the land. Says Rashi in Perek Tes of Megillas Esther, who wrote that letter to Ahasuerus to stop the Jews from returning and rebuilding the temple? The Bnei Haman, the 10 sons of Haman. So just like the 31 kings try to stop us the first time around, try to make the Shira of the Yamsuf incomplete, the Bnei Haman attempted the same thing again to make sure we don't return, to make the Shira of the Yamsuf incomplete. So now we see the very specific connection that there is between the 31 kings of Canaan and the 10 sons of Haman. They both were an impediment to the end result, the goal of Kriyas Yamsuf. They were trying... The 31 kings of Canaan were trying to stop Bia Rishonah. The Aseres Bnei Haman were trying to stop Bia Shnia. Mamela, when we entered Eretz Yisrael and conquered the 31 kings, we sang like a quasi-shira, completing the Oz Yashir. And when we entered Eretz Yisrael, Bia Shnia, we sang another quasi-shira. What were we singing over when the 10 sons of Haman were hanging? The song was entering Eretz Yisrael, reliving Kriyas Yamsuf. The end goal of Kriyas Yamsuf had now been achieved. Now I think we understand what the connection is between the 31 kings of Canaan and the 10 sons of Haman. They both were trying to accomplish the same goal. We understand why. I'll ask you another question. Did anybody see on the Targum's list of songs the song of the 31 kings? Wasn't there. Did anyone see on the Targum's list of kings the 10 sons of Haman? Wasn't there. Why did they not make the official list of Shira? The answer is because these are not independent shiros in and of themselves. They are merely the completion of the Oz Yashir, and therefore they don't make the official list of shiros. They're just the gemar of the Oz Yashir.
Okay. Format either, right?
And therefore it's like a separate format. The typical format is, the whole format is Ariach HaGavilena. When you're just completing a previous song, you know, so you take a different format. Exactly. But Rabbeisai, I'm still troubled. Because yes, they're exactly parallel. They're both trying to stop return to Eretz Yisrael. But the numbers I'm still troubled by. Why is it that by the Malchei Canaan it's 31, and by the Aseres Bnei Haman it's 10? So you say, come on, how are you going to answer that? I'm going to show you. Also, what's the significance of 31 kings? 31 kings? That's an odd number. When did you ever see the number 31 for anything? What's 31? You know, in Echad Miyodea, what do they stop by what?
13.
Then, right, what are you going to do with 14, right? Imagine if there were 14 days of Hanukkah, right? Yeah. 31, what's 31? Anybody ever heard of 31? Kale. Not bad. Oh, the lave is a circle, it's the last chain. So I'm going to share with you an incredible... This is the key. This is the key to the share right now. Number 21, the Toisus Yomtif on the last Mishnah on Oksan. You ready for this? This is Mamish Oyem and Oyem. What's the last Mishnah on Shas? Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahanchil L'chol Tzadik V'Tzadik. Every Tzadik is destined to inherit how many worlds? Shai Olamos. 310 worlds. Shenemar lehanchil oyave yesh v'itzoyseyam amale. To those who love me, I have what? I have yesh. I'm going to fill up their storehouses. By the way, this is a statement of Rishu ben Levi in the Mishnah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf quotes it from Rava Bar Mori, an Amoira. Be it as it may, what is the meaning of 310 worlds? What kind of number is that, 310?
By 10.
Now, by the way, the Taras Chaim says, how many mitzvahs are there? 613 mitzvahs. 7 mitzvahs to Rabbanon. So total of 620. One for the husband and one for the Rebbetzin. So, they split it. Shelly, half and half. So if you divide the Torah, husband and wife, 310 go to the husband, 310 go to the wife. But Marv Rabbi said, listen to this, it's Oya Menoira. The Medrash says that in this world, our relationship to God is like a woman to a man. Now, does a woman inherit a man? There's a concept, a woman only gets 10%. Memela, how many Oilamos does Rivan Hashem have? We don't know. Now let's figure it out. If in Canaan there were 31 kings, and we are Shin, Eretz Yisrael, which is where Yoresh, the Oilam Haba that exists in Oilam Hazeh, and that's how many worlds? 31, because of 31 kings, and that's only 10%. It must be that in Oilam Haba there are 310 worlds. Why? 10 times the Malchei Canaan. The meaning of Yesh, Lahanchel Oyeva Yesh, that also the Kozroch Lahanchel Chotzai Gutzadek, Shai Oilamas. What's the secret of Shai? The secret of Shai is it's 10 times the Malchei Canaan. So if the Malchei, that means, listen carefully, says Rav Moshe Shapiro, this is what the Tosfos Yom Tov says, that the secret of 310 is 10 times the Malchei Canaan. That means what exists in Eretz Yisrael, the Olam Haba that exists in Eretz Yisrael, is the tenth of the worlds in Shemayim. That means the Malchei Canaan were the Kayach HaTuma that was impeding us from being Kayna, whatever is available of the Olamos HaOlyonim in this world. So if there are 31 kings of Canaan, there must be 31 Olamos available. And that means in Olam Haba there must be 310. Very interesting. So what we're learning is, how many Olamos are in Olam Haba? 310. And I always wondered, Olam Haba is such an important concept in Judaism, right? The Mishnah says, Olam Hazeh, Doimar B'Lefroizer, B'Fnei Olam Haba. Like, so why doesn't the Torah talk about it? You know, where does the Torah talk explicitly about Olam Haba? Nowhere. It's not mentioned explicitly in the Chumash. And yet, I was amazed. It is Merumah's, in the very first parsha, in the very first pasuk, in the very first word in the Torah. Bereishis, says the Panei Achrozah, one of the Balei HaToisus. Bereishis spells Barasa Yesh. You created 310. I mean, if you think, but where is it? You know, you got up to the first pasuk yet? I didn't get too far. It's okay. You didn't have to get too far. Even if you just... if you stop paying attention the moment your Rebbe opened up his mouth, you're still good to go. Bereishis, Barasa Yesh. The Ribbono Shel Olam created 310 worlds, says the Balei Tosfos. Also in the Sefer Chaim Tchila, Rav Chaim Falaji. That's Pshat. Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lohem Chelek Lohem Abba. They have 310. But then, let's take it a little further. This is Oyem Venoira. If there are 310 worlds upstairs, there must be a kayach of 310 downstairs. And in fact, there are. What is this world called? When Hashem created this world, He created it. Fill in the blank, play a little game. Hashem created the world, blank, Me'ayin. Yesh Me'ayin. Huh. Olam Haba is Yesh. Olam Hazeh is also Yesh. Olam Haba is Shai Olamos. Olam Hazeh is Yesh Me'ayin. Barasa Yesh. God created the world, Yesh Me'ayin. So the first pasuk, the first word has dual meaning. Number one, God created 310 worlds. Number two, God created Yesh Me'ayin. Barasa Yesh. So interesting. Let's take the word Barasa Yesh. Okay, you ready? We're taking the first word in the Chumash. we don't want to make it too complicated. We're just learning the first word of the Chumash today. Barasa Yesh. Yesh is 310. What's Barasa? What's the gematria of Barasa? Almost 603, right? Beis, Reish, Aleph, Tav. 603. Who else is 603? B'nai Yisrael is 603. So it's interchangeable. Barasa Yesh, God created 310. B'nai Yisrael Yesh. You know for whom the Yesh was created? The B'nai Yisrael. The Yesh was created for the B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael Yesh. Ah, says Rav Moshe Shapiro, this is a new meaning in the first Rashi in Chumash. Rashi's bothered, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, the Torah should have started, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. So why did the Torah start, Bereishis? So that, if the Goyim say, you're robbers, you stole the land of the 70 nations. By the way, why? How many nations did we conquer in Eretz Yisrael? Seven, Sheva Umais. Why? Again, it's always Meiser. You get 10% in this world. There's 70 Umais, and Eretz Yisrael, we got seven nations. It says Rashi, if the Goyim come and say, you're a bunch of robbers, you stole the land of the seven Goyim. So they could say back, all the world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created it, and he gave it to, who is Yashar Be'enav? He created it, and he gave it to us. In other words, the first pasuk in Chumash is addressing how do we know Eretz Yisrael belongs to Klal Yisrael? How do we know the Nachlas Goyim belongs to Klal Yisrael? And you know what the answer is? Barasa Yesh. God created 310. But it's also B'nai Yisrael Yesh. He created it for the B'nai Yisrael. The question of ownership of Eretz Yisrael that Rashi says is being dealt with in the first word, in the first pasuk of Chumash. How does Hashem address it? The answer is with the words Barasa Yesh. Barasa Yesh could mean God created 310. It could mean B'nai Yisrael Yesh, and it all belongs to the B'nai Yisrael. Just as an aside, quickly, and then it's unbelievable. What's the last comment of the last Mishnah in Shas? Amar Shimon Chalafta, Loi Motza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ki Klimachzik Bracha LiYisrael Ela Shalom. You know, Barasa Yesh, 603 Yesh. You know what else is 603? Says Rav Moshe Shapiro. What else is 603? Is B'nai Yisrael and Bracha V'Shalom. So the Mishnah says like this. God created Yesh, 310 worlds. And where do you put it? Bracha v'shalayim. The machzik bracha is the midah of shalayim that houses the 310 worlds. Okay.
Where's this pasuk?
It's the last mishnah in Uksin. La'imotza gezbrach kli machzik bracha ela shalayim. Okay. So listen to this. This is mamish oyim enoira. So we said two times in history, somebody came to impede the Jewish people's return to Eretz Yisrael. The first impediment was the 31 kings. The second impediment was the 10 sons of Haman. What's the secret of the 31 kings? How are the 31 kings able to impede? The answer is because Eretz Yisrael is the source of 310. The Koyach HaTumah against 310 are the 31 kings. And then Ribbono Shel Olam was Meir Einai. I'm thinking, 10 sons of Haman. How many sons did Haman have? 10, right? No.
200.
Nobody says 10. There's not one shita that says he had 10 sons. The Gemara brings three opinions. Opinion number one, says the Gemara Lamed 31, Vayisaper Lohem Haman, Eskvayd Hashem, V'roi Banav, V'kama Roi Banav, Amarav Lamed 30. 10 of them died. 10 of them were hanged. 10 of them are fundraisers. So I'm thinking, they're collecting tzedakah. 30. How do Chazal know he had 30 sons? Like, what's the remez? I think Mamish Oyem Venoira. I found in the Roikeach, the way the 10 sons are written, V'yeis, Parshan Das, V'yeis, Talfan, V'yeis, Aspasa, after every V'yeis, there's a psik. You know what a psik is? A line. Says the Roikeach, you know what the line teaches you? That for every son that died, there was another son that died. So that means if there were 10, there were 20. But then we know that Ve'es is also the rabbis. So if you're Madaik, there are 10 sons, and there are 10 psikim, and there are 10 Ve'eses. That's how Chazal know he must have had 30 sons. So you say, yeah, but the Malchei Canaan were 31. Plus Haman himself. So there are 31 Malchei Canaan, and there are 31 Haman guys. Haman Ushloishim Banov. Where does it say 30? The Gemara, and it's Marumas in the Pasuk. 10 sons, 10 Sikkim, 10 Ba'asses. So, exactly, it's another 31 Tumah to counteract 310. When we were able to overcome Haman, the same way when we overcame the 31 kings, we were Zoychat Eretz Yisrael, and Vayitzvaseyam Amale the Yesh, when we overcame the 31 sons of Haman and his 30 sons, 31, the same thing, Nachamal, Yesh, Yesh. My rabbis, we're just getting warmed up.
Where's 31 come from?
30 sons, plus Haman, plus the Tata. Plus the, yeah, can't forget about. Then the Gemara brings another opinion. And the Gemara says, you know how many, the Gemara says, no. The fundraisers, there were 70. So I'm thinking, well, if the fundraisers are 70, how many sons did he have?
90.
90! How did Chazal know he had 90? What's on that opinion? He said, Pashat.
Right.
Pashat. You have to dig. 90. How many Oisiyos are in that Aseres B'nei Haman? It's Yadua Mefursam from the Vilna Gaon that the Aseres B'nei Haman are 54. 54. Why? Listen carefully. It says 54 times Haman in the Megillah. The Oisiyos of Haman are 54, the Gra says, and the letters of Alanisim on Purim are 54 letters. That's Pshat. Macha, you know I'm going to wipe out? Emcha. Emcha is Gematria 54. I'm going to wipe out the 54s. The 54 mentions of Haman, the 54 letters in his sons, and that's Kimachai Emcha. Now, the problem was I started to count. And in every Chumash I counted, I only got 53. And I realized all the Chumashim are making a mistake. If you look in the correct Chumashim, in the Tikkun, Aridai is spelled Aleph Resh Yud Dalet Yud, and then it comes out to 54. By the way, look at any Megillah, Aridai is Male. All the Chumashim got it wrong. I was like, I was going nuts. What am I going to do? Well, it's only 53. Fine. Now let's count all the letters of the Ace. Vav, Aleph, Tav. 3. 10 times. That's another 30. That's 84. Yeah, but if you look in the Shira, you have Aleph, Yud, Shin, Ish. Right? 87. And Aseres. 91! Yeah, but it says he had 90 kids. Plus Haman! Unbelievable! If you're Medayik, the 10 sons, the 10 Psikim, and the 10 Ba'as, that's the first day in the Gemara, 30. If you count all the Oisiyos, that's the second day, 91. That's half of a fella. And the third opinion, 208, we're going to give a different Shiran. What's Pshan, the 208? But not now. When Chazal say, you ever learn a Gemara? One opinion is 30. One opinion, I don't know. What are they talking about? What are they talking about? They're digging as deep as they could go. There's nothing trivial in the Torah. The Pashup Pshat is their 30, a deeper Pshat is their 90. Okay, let's take it further. So it comes out that it's not just, you know, Haman tried to stop us, and the 31 kings of Canaan tried to stop us, so they're basically the same. They're not basically the same. They're exactly the same. 31 kings of Canaan, 31 Amalekim. 31 is 10% of the Yesh of Olam Haba. Mav Rabbi said, this is step one. This is Mamish Oyam Benayra. Because it comes out, Zachinu L'Soyd Gadol, and that is as follows. Look at number 33, and here it goes. There is a man, there are four people who never sinned. Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, Amram, the father of Moshe, Yishai, the father of David, Kilav, the son of David. Kilav, the son of David. Now, the Gemara says they all are sort of a tradition except for Yishai, the Pasuk says. Where does the Pasuk say Yishai never sinned? It talks about a man by the name of, it says Avigail, the daughter of the snake. So the Gemara says Avigail, the daughter of the Nachash. Her father's name was Yishai. What are you calling him, a snake? No! He was somebody that died only because of the original sin, but he didn't deserve to die. He never sinned. Marv Raboisai, what is Yishai called in Tanakh sometimes? Nachash. Called Nachash. Yeah? He's called the snake. What's the meaning of that? Marv Rabbi Isai. And what is Mashiach called? Ben Yishai. Someone who comes from Yishai. That means the Kayach of Mashiach, by the way, Mashiach is Gematria 358. Nachash is Gematria 358. So Yishai, who produced Mashiach, is like the antidote to the Nachash. That's why he's sometimes called the Nachash. Marv Rabbi Isai. That means the Kayach of Mashiach is from Yishai. What's Yishai? Yud, Shin, Yud. Interesting. What happens when you double up the 310? You get Keser. Keser of Mashiach. The Keser of Mashiach is to take the Kayach of the 310 worlds in Shemayim and fuse it together with the Kayach of the 310 down here. To take this world, what is this world? This world is created Yesh Me'ayin. For what purpose did God create this Yesh down here? Why was Hashem Barasa Yesh downstairs? In order to be Zoicha to the Yitzreseim, Yamale Yesh, Oilama Yishaylam is upstairs. The purpose of the Yesh down here is to get the Yesh upstairs. When you fuse it together, what do you get? Keser, 620. 310, 310 is 620. There is one individual in history who has the kayach to take the yesh me'ayin downstairs and fuse it together with the shai olamos upstairs. Who's that? Yishai. Yud shin, shin yud. Yesh me'ayin shai olamos. So I see my friend Reb Zev Tiberg, he came in from Israel. He didn't know why he was coming. I'll tell you why you came. Because a few weeks ago we stood by the kever of Yishai. And by the kever of Yishai, most people never went. Yishai is buried in Chevron. And there's a big sign with his name, Yishai. And we have a shir, you can watch it, right? Yishai, Yud Shin, Yesh, Shai Olam HaZeh. He's able to fuse together the 310 of Olam HaZeh and the 310 of Olam HaBa. And the job of Mashiach is to clarify to the world that the Ribbono Shel Olam created this world, Yesh Me'ayin, only for the Shai Olamos of Olam HaBa. And who tries to mask that? Who tries to cut it off? Who tries to sever the connection between Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa? It's the Nachash. The Nachash says, forget about Olam HaBa. Forget about upstairs. Just make it all about the Yesh Me'ayin down here. And the job of Mashiach, the Keser, Keser is 620, the Keser of Mashiach is what? 620 is to fuse together Yesh, Shai, that's Yishai. Marv Rabbeisai, it's Hafla the fella. Wow. Haman is coming again. How many kids? 30 kids, a total of 31. He's coming to be Mevatel, the 310, the same way the Malchai Canaan came to be Mevatel. Do you know what Mordechai is learning? That the Gemara says, Mordechai learning this subject was Mevatel Haman. Haman said to Mordechai, Nu, was learnst du? What's the sugya? What's sugya learning? Tell me over a shtickle Torah. So Mordechai says, I'm learning Hilchos Kmitza. Says Rashi, look at number 31, Kmitza. It was the day after Pesach, and he's learning Hilchos Oimer. There is a mysterious comment of the Ariza. I don't have any idea what he's talking about, but maybe this is what he means. Oimer is Gematria 310. Why do you think Mordechai is learning Hilchos Oimer? Because he knows the Ariza is number 35. Oimer, Beis Oimer, Shai Shai. Basically, Oimer is 310. And then Haman says, Oivai, you're learning Hilchos Oimer. You pushed me away. How does Oimer counteract Haman? Haman, with his 30 sons, 31, is like the 31 kings of Canaan. He's trying to stop us from returning to Eretz Yisrael. He's trying to stop the fusion of 310 downstairs, 310 upstairs. By the way, it is well known, Haman was the very embodiment of the Nachash. Rav Yonasan Aibishitz writes, number 50 on your sheets, Haman was the Nachash. After all, the Gemara says in Chulin, Kuf Lametes, number 50, last one. Kuf Lamed says, Haman min ha-Torah minayin ha-min ha-Eitz. Haman's the Nachash. The job of the Nachash, he's anti-Mashiach. Mashiach fuses together the two 310s. The Nachash severs the two 310s. Haman was trying to remove, through him and his 30 kids, the kayach of Shai Olamos, the koach of connecting Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. Merv Rabbeisai, check this out. There's a look at number 40. There's a pasuk in Eiv. In Eiv it says, "Be yeshishim chachma." Among the old, there's wisdom. Va'irach yamim tivuna, and there's long life and understanding. You know what the word yeshishim? Yeshishim means old wisdom. Says Megala Mukai, says Ramami Pano, the secret of the word is yesh yesh. There's one chachma in this world. You know what the chachma is? To be mechaber, the 310 of this world with the 310 of the next world through the Keser Malchus of Mashiach. That's the secret of wisdom. Now, it's zelu umaze. How does one connect the two worlds? The most important mitzvah, Torah. Look at the luchais. How many oisiyos are on the luchais? 620 letters on the luchais. Why? Because when a person learns Torah, they recognize that the whole yesh me'ayin of Olam Hazeh is in order to get the shayo ilamos of Olam Haba. And what's the opposite of somebody who's cut off from Olam Haba? What is the punishment of being cut off from Olam Haba called? Kares. What's gematria of Kares? 620. 620 to get Olam Haba, 620 to lose Olam Haba. It's, you have to make the decision. Are we going to connect ourselves to the next world? How do we do that? Haman is trying to stop it. The 31 kings of Canaan are trying to stop it. They're trying to bring Kares. You know what else is 620? Says Megal HaMukos, it's frightening. Satan, Nachash, Samach Mem, added up as Kares. That's right. On the other hand, Olam Haba is also 620. It says, Ayin Loi Rasa, Elikim Zu Asecha, Tuvcha Shot Safanta, Liriyachat Safanta, 620. The goal in life is to connect Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. Realize this world has only one purpose. The purpose of Yesh Me'ayin down here, the reason why Hashem was Barasa Yesh Me'ayin is because Hashem was Barasa the Yesh Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Haman is coming to sever it. He's 31. Malchei Canaan are coming to sever it. They're 31. Maybe we could add one nekuda. Can we say, possibly, that Haman is not only coming to eradicate and bring Kares to 310, he's coming to destroy the whole Keser entirely. Maybe that's Merumas when Haman asks Achashverosh that he wants to wear the Keser Malchus. Achashverosh, no! I'm not giving you the Keser Malchus. The Gemara says that's one request. Haman's after all 620. You know where this is Merumas? You take all the icy ice. Of the Bnei Haman, we said is how many? 54. Plus the Ish, plus the Aseres, Imakoilo is 62. 10% of the whole thing, 620. That's what Haman is after. Okay, Rabbi Isai, one last point, and then let's wrap it up. So what's this world? This world is a world of Yesh Me'ayin. What's the next world? Next world is Lahanchel Oyava Yesh. And the job of Mashiach is to connect Olam Hazeh for one purpose, Olam Hazeh, Doimer Lefroizdar B'fnei Olam Haba. And it all depends on what is your attitude toward Yesh. This world is Yesh. It has Yesh in it. There's a lot of good stuff in this world. There's food, there's Hana, there's a lot of good stuff. There are cars, there's pleasure. There's Yesh, it's the world of Yesh. There are two attitudes toward the Yesh. There's Esav, and there's Yaakov. Do you remember? This is something we all know. Yaakov and Esav had different attitudes toward the Yesh, respectively. When Yaakov talked about the Yesh, he said it differently than Esav's Yesh. Esav said, Yesh li rav. I have a lot. What does a lot mean? A lot means I'm amassing, I'm amassing, I'm amassing. I have a lot, and I could have more. That means the attitude toward the Yesh is, it's an end goal in and of itself. I have a lot. There's still more to go. Yaakov says, this world, there's no end. There's no ambition in the Yesh. I have this Yesh that I have here. It's everything. Whatever I have, that's all I need. Yesh li koil. The way to connect, says Rav Moshe Shapiro, the Yesh of Olam Hazeh to the Shai of Olam Haba. The way to reach the Madrega of Keser, of 620, of Yishai, Yesh to Shai, is to realize that this world, it's called Yesh, my Yesh is everything. Esav says, no, yesh li ro, they have a lot. I'm collecting, I'm amassing. My portfolio is not big enough. My car, I can't wait until I upgrade. My phone, I can't wait until it's over so I could get the next model. If a person's ambition in life is, ro, I have a lot, and there's room for more, what am I going to do when I have more? That's making an end goal of this world itself, and you're cutting it off from Olam Haba. But when a person looks at what he has, and that's all I need. Why? Because it's only for a different world. It's only for Olam Haba. You're mechaber the two olamos. The same attitude that Esav and Yaakov argue about, yesh li rov and yesh li kol, I would like to suggest, is in the Megillah also. Because Haman tells Zeresh, Vayisaper lohem Haman es kvoid ashrei v'roiv banav. Haman says, you know what I got in this world? I have a lot. My yesh is a lot. Meaning, there's room for more. But what does Mordechai say about his children? How does the Megillah end? Do you know what the exclamation mark in the Megillah is? V'doiver shalom l'chol zaroi. Mordechai says, same old trick, Haman. You've cut yourself off from Olam Haba because you're a Roiv guy. You're an Esav guy. You are Yesh Li Rav. My kids, my family, what I have is Kol Zara. It's everything I need. Why is it everything I need? Because I connect the 310 downstairs to the 310 upstairs, and I am a Chaber, the two 310s, to the Keser Malchus, which is 620. And once Mordechai was Zoicha to do that, Klal Yisrael were Mekabel the Torah on the Luchos, again, our 620 Oisiois, and they were Zoicha to the potential for Mashiach. Because the Gemara we began with in number 4, had all of Klal Yisrael returned, they would have been Zoicha to bring the Mashiach. The Keser was there, the Keser Malchus was there. They were not Zoicha to it. But hopefully, Emes Hashem, this Purim, as we learn the lesson of Mordechai, of Kol Zaroi, we hope to connect the 310 of this world, 310 to the next world, 31 Malchei Canaan, 31 Amalekim, with the Koyach of Mordechai, where Zoicher, Keser Malchus, Baroi Sheinu, B'yas Gal Tzagim, Heri Yameinu, Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.